a long ways into it, and I thought, I don't know, that's the thing that got my attention. It was something that a hidden mystery, and it just stirred my soul, and I thought, praise be to God. And so those things to an elected seed, they make it real to you. And because you being a part of the word and that word being revealed, and I realize sometimes we can use wisdom, sometimes people are weak, and we should just follow the leading of the Spirit when we're talking to them. But I don't rule anything out. If I feel led to say something, I just say it. And then God can do something for them if there's a seed there. So now when we were finishing up on Wednesday night, Brother Branham was talking about who does man say I, the Son of Man, am? And so I'm going to read that now. We're going to read a few verses of scripture, and I just sent the quotes out. Somehow, I don't know how it is, but it seemed like Satan can bother me, hinder me, try to block me in every single thing that I try to do. And so I send the quotes out, right before I come out. So I couldn't get no internet. And so I tried and tried and tried. I reset the internet. I come back. Did it. And so finally I came in here and I asked her, I said, do you have internet? She had internet. I said, well, then how can I not have internet? And so I shut it down on my computer and restarted it. And finally I got it. And so, the minutes are ticking away and you just get more nervous and you're like, well, what am I going to do here? So I did send it out right at the last minute. So Brother Michael will be sending it out to you. And, if but it looks like some of you have it there. And so, but this scripture, I wanted to put it in here. And I'm adding a little bit before and after because of the things that he's talking about. So let's start at beginning at verse 5 of Matthew chapter 16. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed, and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now, you're going to see immediately how they trip this up. Okay? So they realize their mistake. They forgot to bring bread. And, that was a food you could travel with. They didn't have all the snacks and all the junk that we have now. And so they could carry a loaf of bread. They could carry something, and that would tide them over till they get where they're going. So now Jesus tells them to take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Now you couldn't imagine this, what's been said now and what is making them think. And think about the things sometimes today where we get sidetracked with our carnal thinking when God is speaking something spiritual and we sidestep in the natural thinking that it's something else. We're relating it to something else. And God knew, he knew this was going to be said right at this time, and he knew it was going to make them think that. God knew that before the foundation of the world. And he let it happen that way for our benefit so we could see it, so we could see the example. Verse 7, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because you have brought no bread. And I always like it when I see that discernment. I always like it when I see that the word is a revealer of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's them knowing once again. That's them. God is exposing, just like he did for Sarah, exposing, vindicating that this is God standing here because he knows the secrets of the hearts. They didn't go question him. They were among themselves. They were questioning. They were questioning him among themselves, not directly to him. And he perceived it. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith. What is faith? Revelation. They didn't have enough revelation to catch this simple statement that he made, and they took it back to not having no bread. Why reason ye among yourselves? because you brought no bread. Do you not yet understand, neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the seven loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? You see, bread's not a problem. Once that was established, they should not have to go back and worry about that, whether they brought bread or they didn't. And that's how it is with the Word of God with us. When God reveals something to us, when God makes something, we know that He's capable. This is the same place where the children of Israel failed in that day. He carried them through the Red Sea. He fed them. He gave them water. Everything that He did, and they still failed to have faith that He could provide for them. Every time it was another thing. We need this. We need that. But, you know, we're going to die in the wilderness. Take it. It wasn't just that they came to God and said, Lord, this is what we need. No. And that's what He wants you to do. And that's what sons and daughters, that's what they do. They go to their father and they say, this is what I need. But that's not what they did. They went completely into the carnal, into the negative, and said, yeah, we would be better off if we were back there. That's not faith. That's not revelation. That's not nothing positive about those statements whatsoever. Nothing positive about that. So He's reminding them now, you need bread. I can handle the bread. I've done that. I've proved that to you. Why would you even question that? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? And then understood they. Then they understood how that He bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. That's what He was speaking about. And that's what He speaks to us about in this day, is being aware of the doctrine, being aware of the false prophecies, being aware of the false ideas. And so now, verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea, Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremias, and or one of the prophets. Now that's all the ideas. And I think that gives such a perfect, Brother Branham talked about three kinds of believers, three kinds of perceptions, three kinds of ideas, three different ways that the people go. And some of them, they had all kinds of ideas. And you wonder how they would get those ideas. How would they relate? Okay, this is John the Baptist, who had just been hung. He's come back. When both of them was standing there at the same time, both of them on the earth were standing there. So some of them are saying, you're John the Baptist, resurrected from the dead. Some of them say, so all of these are resurrections, right? All of these are prophets that had once lived. So he's saying, Jeremiah, one of the prophets, all these different ones. So then that's where the people are scattered out. And so then he comes back and he says, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. This revelation that he got didn't come from any man. This revelation he's got came from the Spirit. It came from the Father. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And this is, Brother Branham said, this is establishing how the church would be built, how the church would come forth. It would come forth on the revelation of who he is. And this wasn't started at Calvary. This wasn't started right here in Jesus' day. This was started at the garden. This was started with Cain and Abel. This was started in the very beginning. It started with Revelation, and it's been Revelation all the way through. And so that means that the intellect can't do it. The intellect can't get it. It won't work. See, I'm going to read it again, verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Think about that. Think about the ones that he told, don't tell them that I healed you. Don't tell them I did this. Don't tell them that. Huh? Tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ until after the resurrection. And from that time, forth, began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now, it's after he tells them that he doesn't want them to tell anybody. Don't tell anybody that I'm the Christ. And so from this time, and from this time now, he's now beginning to unfold or to reveal. And so, I think he's already told them at this point, or at some point here, he tells them when they come and said, Lord, why do you speak to them in parables? Why don't you speak plainly where they can understand? And he makes it clear. He said, it's not for them. This is for you. This is for you. Your eyes are blessed. Your ears are blessed. This is for you to see and to understand. And from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again on the third day. Now, watch Peter now. And then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Is it me? This is very similar of what they, when they rebuked him about the other. They said, why do you do this? Why don't you speak plainly? Why are you saying it in parables? Why don't you speak plainly? Just the way you're speaking to us when you take us into the room, you take us out from the crowd, and you explain this. Why don't you speak plainly to them so they can see it, so everybody can understand? And Peter here now, you know, is rebuking him. That it's hard to fathom. It's hard to fathom that you know that this is the Christ. You know that this is the Son of God. You know that this is the Messiah. You know that what God has done in your day, and you've seen the dead raised, you've seen God vindicate him over and over and over. But yet, when he speaks a word that's contrary to Peter's idea, immediately it riles Peter. And this is the same, this is all over the message today. It riles people today when you speak something that is contrary to what they have in their mind. What they have in their mind, the way that God is supposed to do it, how he should do it, how they thought he was going to do it, or how they want him to do it, or whatever it is, they get upset. You can watch, you watch people, they visibly get upset, verbally get upset. That's exactly what Peter, was Peter a seed here? Peter was seed. Was he elect? He was elect. But this was so contrary to what he had in his mind that he began to rebuke the Lord. He began to rebuke the word. He began to rebuke the Christ. Now, this is a last thing. This must be the most humiliating thing that a believer could ever hear from the Lord. is what he told Peter. But he turned and said unto him, unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. Wow. What was it? It was intellect. It was intellect. He had in his mind how it was supposed to be. He had in his mind how he had been taught. He had, and he just warned him to be weary of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Be aware of what they're doing, that their ideas are not God's ideas. Their doctrine is not God's doctrine. Their revelation is not God's revelation. Never has been. It's never went that way. It's always been contrary. It's always been contrary. And it was contrary here, and he is teaching his disciples. He's teaching his disciples, and he's getting them out of that mindset. And they'll continue. They'll continue to be taught after Jesus is gone and Paul comes. He'll continue to rebuke them. He'll rebuke them through the prophet. He rebuked them through Jesus, and he'll rebuke them through, in the spirit, and he rebuked them from Paul. And they were holding those ideas that they had from previous days. Let's read it again. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Now, I want to say on Peter's behalf, he got it all out. He got it all out, and in the end, when everybody was running out of the city, he turned around and he walked back in to die, to give his life. Amen. He got caught up in the spirit. He got caught up in the revelation. He got caught up that he wanted to be the same. He wanted to go the same way. 16:25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. See? For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come into the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Oh my. Oh, was he talking to him spiritual again? Talking to him spiritual. They were going to see. They were going to see this thing. Brother Branham picks up here in the paragraph 214 in Christ, the mystery of God revealed. And he said he made himself known to Peter. Now, if you want to mark it down, St. Matthew 16, 15 and 17, I'll quote it. See, when they come from the Mount Transfiguration, he says, who does man say that I, the Son of Man, am? See, and some says, oh, they think you're Elijah. Some thinks you're one of the prophets, Jeremiah, some of them. But that wasn't what he asked. He said, who do you think that I am now? See, who do you think? Now, there is the church he's talking to, see? And this takes my mind back to the Church Ages book where Brother Branham said, the reason the revelation is so misunderstood is because the people fail to recognize that God is speaking to two groups of people. He said, you read a scripture, and he said, that scripture can be to the non-elect. And you read another scripture, and that scripture can be to the elect. And Brother Branham gave examples. He talked about him coming as a thief in the night. He said, he's not talking to the elect. The elect knows. He's revealed himself. He sent a messenger. He sent a voice, a shout, with a message to prepare them to meet him. So when he says that, when the scripture says that, it's talking to another group of people. They have no idea. So it's a hidden mystery. So He's talking to two groups of people. And so here he told them, who do they say? Who does man say? Then he made it personal and he said, who do you say? Who do you say? See, today he's a philosopher. No, wait, let's just read 2:16 again. He said, who do you think that I am? Now, see, now there is the church he's talking to, see? What does man think I am? And today, he's a philosopher. It's this social religion. See, he's a good man. We believe his teaching is right. It's subject to be lived by. See, I think it'd all make us better if we did. See, we ought to have churches and so forth. See, like a Santa Claus story. Huh? You get what he's saying? Brother Branham said they can agree with it. They can say, yeah, it's right. Yeah, I believe. Yeah. He said, that's just your intellect. He said, that's just your intellect sympathizing. That's just your emotion sympathizing. People are sympathizing with it. Yeah. And I'm not putting down denominations. I'm not putting down these other groups. You take groups like we call the Mormons, the saints of what do they call it? The Latter-day Saints, whatever it is. But I knew some of those people when I was in high school, and they live a very strict life. They got a bad rap because of polygamy and other things that are there, and they've got some division and they got splinter groups, you know, going different ways. That's, you're always going to have that. And so you get some make the others look bad. But if you look at their life, they live a very good life. They live a very strict life. They in a lot of ways, a lot of things that they do. And so they're some of the most moral people. When you get into denominational ranks, they're much more moral than a lot of other groups. Like you take Baptists and Methodists, a lot of them, you know, it's all right to drink and smoke and cuss and all that. They're separated from a lot of that stuff. So there's a lot of good moral values that are there in that. I would much rather, and this is just me now, maybe I shouldn't get off on these things, but I would much rather they be religious in some way than to not be. Because having some type of religion, even if it's wrong, it raises a moral standard. It raises a moral standard that is good for everyone around them. And so they feel like now they can change in a moment's time if you rub them raw. But at the same time, they're talking about, at least they're talking about the Lord and they're saying they believe the Lord. I'd rather have that than somebody that's just is completely obnoxious and completely against you and completely against anything that has to do with God. And so it does raise the moral standards. And so, and I know, I look at the things that Brother Branham said about the Indians, and I know because he was part Indian that, you know, I know the Indians were taken advantage of by the white man, the land, all of it. And at the same time, that's how the world has done since the beginning of time. They've just constantly taken over. Another group comes in, gets it, and then after so many years, 100 years, whatever, it's taken over again. And so you push out those people that are living there. And I have a lot of respect for the Indians, but they also had a lot of superstitions, and they also had a lot of bad traditions that they did. They believed that they could let their wife sleep with another man and that they would gain power from that spirit. If they let their wife sleep with some other man, then they would get some of that power of that man. That's the kind of ideas that they had. And so those things are, it's just wrong. It's just wrong. And so they had a lot of immoral issues, although in a lot of ways you could feel sorry for them. And before the white man came and fought with them, they were fighting with each other. So there's two sides. There's always two sides to all of those things. And so I certainly don't want to dampen anything that Brother Branham said about the Indians, because I agree with him on the things that he talked about and how they was taken advantage of, and it was bad. The white man lied and cheated and didn't keep their promise. That's the thing. They didn't keep their promise. They didn't do what they said they were going to do. But when you just say, "Oh, we're going to do this," Brother Branham said, that's like a Santa Claus story. It's not real. It's not true. See? This is the last paragraph that we read on Wednesday night. I just put it back in here. See, it's not expressions of some church that we should express something. See? That's what's wrong. Because too many churches are coming with something that they're trying to express. This church wants to express this idea. This church wants to express this idea. This person wants to express this idea. And it might be all good. They might be all be good ideas. They might be, "Oh, we're gonna, be the most holy," or we're gonna have the gifts, or we're gonna have this, or we're gonna have that. That's all great. But that's not it. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a life. He's talking about a life. And Brother Branham said it's a life that you don't live yourself, but he comes in you and lives by himself. See? And you become a prisoner to any human intellectual being at all. Huh? To any human intellectual being at all. You're led by the Spirit. See? And how do you know? See? You now watch this. This is another one of those times when Brother Branham, he's going along and he's talking about something. He's talking about the expression, and he's talking about, God's attribute being expressed, and talking about you being led of the Spirit. And watch where he goes now. He goes to somebody being insane. He goes to somebody losing their mind, and he's gonna bring it around. But that's where he goes. This is the very next paragraph. Now you might say, you might know, I was losing my mind. Maybe a man that loses his mind does that. See? But if you have the mind of Christ, Christ expresses himself through you, shows that it's him. You're getting that? And not you've lost your mind. That's the difference, is when it shows, when it proves, when it vindicates that it's him, that it's his life. And when it proves that it's his life, then you're not losing your mind. You haven't went crazy. And the irony of it is that they think when you become a Christian and you surrender all to Christ, they think you've lost your mind. The issue is they have lost their mind. They have lost their mind in this day until they don't know. They don't even know if they're a man or a woman. They don't know God. They don't know anything about God. Brother Bram said, they don't know no more than a Hottentot knows about an Egyptian knight. They have no idea. You say, "Oh, no, they're religious." Yeah, they're religious, but they don't know God. They have a God, but they don't know God. They have something that they believe, and they have something that they worship, and they have something they're trying to express, but they don't know God. And so when they see him, they don't know it's him. So when they see him being expressed in the bride, they can't recognize that. Oh, they might admire it. They might appreciate it. They might say good things about it, or they might not. But still, they have their own idea. And so they don't know that that's God. And that's exactly what happened with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They didn't know. They knew there was something going on. They knew there was something special. Nobody could raise the dead. Nobody could open the blinded eyes. Nobody could do what he was doing. There had to be some supernatural power about this visitation, but they could not relate it. They could not relate it to what they had been taught and what they had been believing. It was just too different. It was too contrary to their ideas. And so it made him reject it. That's what happened. It made him reject it. And the difference was, look at Peter. He rebukes him, tells him it's not going to be. he fights against this thing. Even when they there, he cut the guy's ear off, the soldier's ear off. The things that he was doing, he was fighting. He wasn't going to have it. He wasn't going to put up with it. He was going to stop it, physically stop it. But this was the plan of God. And that's why in the end, he was able to walk right back in there and give his life. Because he had been caught up in the Spirit. He had been caught up in the Spirit. He had got the revelation. He got the mind of Christ that this is God's way. And that's the difference. You're able to look at the Word of God and see God's way. You're able to hear the Word of God and know that this is the way that God operates, not some expression of some church or some idea of your own. No. See, 220. If you have the mind of Christ, Christ expresses himself through you and shows that it's him. You've not lost your mind. See, some people, under illusions of things, they go out and they become insane. Well, we know that's wrong. What do? They go out under illusions of things and they get so caught up in that thing until they can do anything. They can get possessed in that. They can kill for that. They can become violent. They can kill themselves. Especially I see in other countries, people will die. They will give their life for lots of different reasons. I'm talking to a young man the other day, and this is not a religious reason, but he had just a 27-year-old boy. He had a financial debt. He couldn't pay it, and he killed himself. And with Benjamin, many times we're traveling across the country. It's a big thing when they have a political, an election, something like that. There's times when the person that they wanted to be the leader doesn't get elected, they kill themselves. They set themselves on fire right in the road. They put tires up out there and set themselves on fire and just die like that. And I was talking to another young man who was telling me about this boy who killed himself over the financial woes. And he said, "Brother," he said, "I was in this same mindset just last week." And I told him, I said, "Brother, that's the devil. That's the devil that's telling you those things. You gotta run from that. You got to resist that spirit. That spirit is there to bind you, to oppress you, to make you think that that's the way out. That's not the way out. Everything about that only makes the situation worse. You have your parents, you have your wife, you have your children, and the debt's not going to go away. They're going to now have to pay that without you. Now they're going to have that same debt and they're not even going to have you to help them. How are they going to do that? Everything about it doesn't help the situation, but Satan puts that pressure on people. He puts that pressure there that makes them think. And these spirits are real. These spirits are real that cause people to go into insanity. They cause people. You think about the woman that Brother Branham, we used to read it a lot with True Justification. The woman, when he was talking about, he can take you back to a virgin. Well, that woman, look what she came through. Look at all the different things she came through. See, till they put her in an insane asylum. There was nothing they could do to help her. She just was so out of it. We thank God for that prophet. We thank God to see these things. But the devil's real. The devil's real. And these things that Satan can do to people. And I'm sure, I don't know, I'm sure there's people, I'm sure a lot of people that has crossed their mind before. You've thought it. I've thought it. I just admit, I've thought it. I thought, okay, this pressure is too much. There's no pressure too much. There's no pressure that God can't lift off of you. There's no pressure that's worth dying for. Those things are not worth dying for. That's all a lie. That's all the devil. And it's a powerful spirit. It's a powerful spirit that would make a person take their life. But what are you doing it for? Because of a debt? Because of somebody hurt your feelings? Because your wife left you, your husband left you, because this, that, or the other? That is that a reason? The devil can even make you think, okay, I'll kill myself and that'll be payback. That'll be revenge. That'll get him. I ain't gonna get him. That's not gonna get him. If that is gonna get him, then why did, if they have those kind of feelings, then why did they leave you? That's not gonna do it. The best thing you could do is live for Christ and live a happy life in Christ. Then let that, they think that you're nothing without them or whatever it is they think. Just be happy in Christ because that's where the only true happiness is. Let's read 221 again. Some people, under illusions of things, goes out and becomes insane. Well, we know that's wrong. That's the devil trying to impersonate the real thing before it gets here, see? They're always a bogus, see? But a real man, to lose his own thoughts and his own thinking, see? Not come up blindly like that. See the difference what he's talking about? No, sir. You come up with your right senses, see? And Christ takes you over and expresses himself. And now to the world, you're an insane person. That's what I was talking about a moment ago. Now you got in your right mind, now you have the mind of Christ, now you have the ability to be led of the Spirit, now you have the teacher living in you, revealing his word to you on a daily basis. Now to the world, you're insane. But in reality, you've come into your right mind. See, and I see him in his work as he was tossed there in this little old sea. Now, where are we at? Where are we at? Where are we at? Oh, I'm sorry. I added in something here. I just looked at a couple things talking about insanity and insane. And so this is the maniac of Gadara. This was in 1954. Brother Branham talked about this several times. So I just added in a little something here. I wanted to read it to you. He said, I see him here in his work as he was tossed there in this little old sea, and one soul was in need over there. Listen to this. We never have a record of anyone else being helped in the land of the Gadarenes, but this one maniac. It just sounds like God, don't it? He went 7 miles out of his way to get a prostitute. He went over to this land to get a maniac. He went over here to get this one. He went over there. There was one at the pool that he healed, and he got healed and he walked away. It just sounds like God's way, don't it? See, poor fellow, I think of him being out there in that condition, perhaps one time a good citizen, a good man. Let's dramatize it a moment in his character. I can imagine seeing him out there, a fine fellow. And the first thing you know, some of the crowd come along and got him to get out away from the church. This is the devil. The devil. The devil always encourage you. You watch. There's those people out there that are in sin and they love it, but they want other people to be with them. And they love pulling people away from God and away from church and away from what's right. You watch. There's people like that and they just enjoy it. They enjoy getting you away, and they don't have no need for you. They're going to dump you after a while anyways. But they just want to get you there so that they can say you're just as bad as them. Then you go do whatever you want to. But don't ever say nothing about them because now they got something on you. That's all they wanted sometime. Sometimes that's all they want. I can imagine him seeing fine fellow, but first thing you know, okay, I'm trying. Next thing you know, the devil had him on the next step. He started drinking. One drink, one devil. Just kept on backsliding, going away. Yep. And after a while, the devil drove him insane. Started out a fine young man. Maybe went to church, maybe did this, got with the wrong crowd, went this way. And it affected him so bad that he lost his mind. And there the man was out there. He must have been been a terrible character. He lived out there in those rough places. They would bind him with fetters. He was twice his strength. He could break them little old fetters and move out just like there was nothing holding him. And even the army, the officers that would bind him up, he'd just break them apart and go on. I think one place Brother Branham said he had 10 times the strength. 10 times the strength. He said the power of the devil on him caused him to be so strong because he was completely submitted. And you know where he's going to go with that. He was completely submitted to that devil. That he could have 10 times his strength or twice his strength or whatever it was, whatever the need was. See, it wasn't his human strength. It was the devil's strength that was doing that. And the devil is powerful, but God is more powerful. And I thought if a man completely surrendered to the devil would have two or three times his strength. What would a man that's laying so weak that he can't get up or crippled so bad that he can't get up? What would he do when the strength and the power of God comes into him? How much more strength God has than the devil has? What is it that Brother Branham said got this man that he could have that kind of strength? Said because he was totally fully surrendered to that spirit. And Brother Ben said, when we can come totally, fully surrendered to the Spirit of God, then God can move. Then God can do something. Then it don't matter. But he's going to give us a couple examples here. I think of our sister sitting here with the hip trouble on that crutch. How much power that God can give you to move up with strength and faith. To lay that crutch down and walk away without it. You see, when the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes in there, see, strength. I seen that little Georgie Carter. How did she get up and walk? That girl had been there in that bed about 9 years. She was just skin and bones, no strength, no muscle, no nothing. How did she get up and take off? That wasn't her. That was the power of God. That give her strength to get up. You know that when you're in the bed like that, it takes therapy. It takes time. You have to help them. You have to hold them. They're going to walk slowly. Actually, the therapy starts in the bed. They just start moving your limbs. They'll lift your arms. They'll move your legs. It takes sometimes days and weeks and months because they've gone to nothing. There's no strength. There's no muscle. There's no nothing. But she just gets up and goes. That's the power of God. See, I seen little Georgie Carter when her little limbs wasn't much bigger than a broomstick. When she had been laying there 9 years and 8 months, see, they had to put a draw sheet under her. Couldn't even put her on a bedpan. See, and when the power of God struck that girl, she come out of there and run, sat down at the organ and played Jesus, Keep Me Nearer the Cross. That's right. Praise God. See, and she's living today after 10, 11 years it is now. 11 years, and she's never been in bed, only just to go to bed at night and go to sleep. See, been laying there 9 years and a half, given up by all the doctors, everything to ever live, TB through the throat and the plumb through the female glands, and there she was. And some of them said, how did she walk, Brother Branham? I said the power of the living God held her up. She just submitted to the power of God. That's right. What did the devil do when people go insane? They've submitted to that. They've submitted to that spirit. And you gotta want it. You gotta resist it. You gotta not want it anymore. And I know it takes the hand of God to deliver a person from that, but you gotta want it. There's gotta be something in there crying out. And God puts that something there. See, that's the trouble, friends. At nighttime, when you see me, your brother, under vision, That's nothing else in the world but submitting myself to the Holy Spirit. See, you that's sick can submit yourself to the Holy Spirit so completely that you'll forget your sickness. Praise be to God. Amen. You can completely submit yourself to the Holy Ghost, and no affliction can hold you. You walk by the power of the Holy Ghost, you're well. You give your testimony, everything else, you're healed by the power of the Holy Ghost. You that's sinful, that maybe drink and smoke and gamble and do things like that, you'd say, I can't give them up, Brother Branham. Yes, you can. You just submit yourself to God one time and just yield your whole self to God and watch what takes place. That's the whole thing. There's no secret in it, see? It's not a hocus pocus. The only thing it is submit yourself to God. What about it? Amen. There it is. See? Then it's not you any longer. What? When you submit yourself to it, then it's not you any longer. Then it's God takes over. Then you just do whatever he says. Then you just follow wherever he goes. Then the world thinks you're insane. And you know that you've got your right mind now. You know that you've left that insanity. You know that you've left your intellect. You've left your ideas. You've left what you were taught. You left what the church taught you. You left what somebody else wanted you to express. And he begins to express himself. He says, you don't have anything to do with it. It's him taking over. It's him taking over. See, that's the whole thing. There's no secret in it. It's not a hocus pocus. The only thing it is, submit yourself to God. Amen. There it is. And then it's not you any longer. It's the Lord. The Lord does it after that. Aren't you happy that we have that opportunity today for that? And seeing this poor old fella Legion out there, maybe once in a while he'd come to himself and just look around and say, what am I doing here? See? Look, there's chains all around him and things like that and his body all cut up. Then the devil would throw him into a spell. See? And here he would go. And maybe he'd come to again and think, I got a wife and children somewhere. And the first thing you know, the devil pulled him into another spell. And here he go. See, he was a murderer. If he could get to people, see, he didn't know what he was doing. And the devil was doing it. That's right. The devil. It was the devil that was doing it. Oh, God. Now, I threw this one in here, talking about the insanity because of the age that we're in. And this is in the Church Ages book, and I know you'll know this one very well. It's on page 70, paragraph 2. And I got some water right here. So, praise be to God. Amen. Now, I want to carry this thought all the way through. So let us go a step further. Have you ever studied the history of revivals? Now, a revival signifies a move of God in power. And every time God moves, Satan is there to move also. It never fails. In the days of the great Welsh revival, and most people don't know this, the insane asylums filled up quickly. See? And there was a great display of devil power to take away the attention from God. It is written that in Wesley's day, the people would do the most peculiar things that were definitely of Satan to try to mock the goodness and the power of God. Think about it. And think, some people, sincere. Brother Branham talked about Jack Moore and those people, the believers there. And he said, what's wrong? Huh? What's wrong with him? He said, they feel the pull of the hour. Why does the devil do this when God is doing something? When God sends a revival, why does Satan send a revival? To impersonate that. And so the people feel the pull of the hour. They see that God is doing something. They know that this is the power of God. They know that God is given a visitation. But Satan comes in to deceive them. He comes in to take them into whatever they were, whatever they were believing, whatever their religion was, whether they were Pharisees or Sadducees or whatever they were. He takes them deeper into that. If they're not willing for God to call them out of that, then Satan takes them deeper into that and he locks them there. And it's a form of insanity. It's a form of they become possessed with that idea. You watch people. They become obsessed with their religion. In this late hour now, they become obsessed with politics. They've become completely and we're at election time right now, and this election is going to be. I think it's going to be a close one. I mean, you might think, oh, it's going to be easy for this one or that one. You could think it's going to be close on either side, but I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be close. And if she gets in, we know the whole thing for the believer is we know it's over. We know nobody can save it. We know if it was a George Washington on every corner, it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter. But just the whole idea of her being in there makes me sick. It just makes me sick. And it amazes me that people don't, I mean, it's like the common people do. Maybe this is exactly what we're reading. You watch the people that are obsessed with the Democrats. There's an insanity there. There's an insanity there where those people, they might come out and they might protest and they're barking like a dog because that's what they think they are. And there's other ones come out and they think they're the opposite gender and what they are. And they protest like that. And then, and they have them one after another after another. And it's just an insanity. And anybody who speaks anything of something normal or something we've known for the last 100 years, then you are the enemy. And they, as far as they're concerned, you can die. As far as they're concerned, you just, I was listening to this man the other day, and he's a speaker, a broadcaster. He's been doing it his whole life since he was in his 20s. And he's pretty famous. And he said, when he was in his 20s, said he started asking this question to people. He found it fascinating, and he said he would ask people, he said, if you seen a stranger drowning and your dog, and you could only save one, which one would you save? And so sometimes they try to change the question to, what if the stranger was Hitler? He said, no. He said, it's a stranger. He said, if it's Hitler, you'd know who it was. He said, a stranger or your dog. And do you know most people say their dog? That's an insanity. That's an insanity when an animal's life becomes more valuable to you than a human's life. When an animal's life is more valuable to you than a human life. And you get these groups like PETA and these different ones. And I know that there's people out there who abuse animals and they should be stopped. That's wrong. I agree with that. But this idea that animals are more important than people and that more precious than people, that's against the word of God. That is just contrary. So in Luther's day, it said that the miracle of his ministry did not lie in the fact that he successfully protested the Roman Catholic Church, but the miracle lie in the fact that he could and did stay sound and sane amidst the fanatics who were often filled with and guided by wrong spirits. See? Huh? Guided by what? Wrong spirits. Oh, yeah. Do you think there's none of that in the message? You can be sure there is. You can be sure there is. And you can be sure it was here. And there's even people left because of it, that because there was people that hung around this message that way back in the early days. Those people brought out said at one time Brother Branham had some meetings for Jim Jones. And well, at that time, Jim Jones had not done what he had done. He was still a younger minister. He still was trying to become popular, still was trying to. So, but he just had those meetings and moved on. And you don't hear them having a continued relationship. There was other people. There was other people. He talked about some of them that were stealing money from the campaigns. He talked about those that were homosexuals. And they were right there in some of the management, some of the things they were doing. It was all bad. It was all bad. But he was led by God. He was being led by God to do what he did and when to do it. So, oh my. See, the miracle lie in the fact that he could and did stay sound and sane amidst the fanatics who were often filled with and guided by wrong spirits. If you've been aware of this last day ministry, see, you will have noted that the same invasion of false and wicked spirits. It has to be that way. Now, I hope and trust you are spiritual minded enough to get that and capitalize on it. Get it and capitalize on it, see? Now, just to seal this point on the true and false vines mingling and demonstrating the two spirits that are at work, let us look into 1 John 4, 1 to 4, and Jude 3, 4, and 12. Now, he's going to read a couple of scriptures here, and I just thought I would leave him in there because he's saying this proves it and vindicates it that much more. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Can we say that today? Can we say that same thing? That those who reject him when he manifested himself, Brother Branham said, if he was here today, he would do the same thing that he did at the tent door of Abraham. And he turned around with his back to the people and he began to call them out, reveal the secrets of the heart. I'm going to read it again because I want it to go out there. Let's see. Let's back up. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereby ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, Antichrist spirit. Because greater is he, God's spirit, that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Praise God. Oh my, it's just all there, isn't it? It's all there. See? Now, I think we're back now to Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Now, he's going to say some more about, he's still talking about this insanity. And remember where he came from now. Remember where he started. Remember where he started at, what he's talking about, the expression of God. And he goes immediately into a person being insane. Now, if you're insane, you're actually insane. Then there's nothing. See, the devil can't take you in complete control. Now, I've listened to this. I went back and listened to it on the. I just thought it was a slip of speech because he's saying the devil can't take you in. And I think the devil, that's what's happening. The devil's taking you. The devil's taking you in. But he can't take you. So here he's kind of going back and forth in what he's saying. But I listened to it on the tape, and it's correct. I have found places where they translated it wrong, But let me read it again. Now, if you're insane, you're actually insane. Then there's nothing. The devil can't take you in complete control. He'll make you do everything contrary to his word. But when Christ takes you over, he'll express that word right through you because it's him. See? He is the word. See? And then you can see the expression of Christ, not some illusion of some sort, but a real, genuine Christ expressing himself right through you. How beautiful. Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. Now, this is paragraph 190, and we read this last week. Now, he just got done saying now, he's expressing himself through you. He started off talking about the expression, talked about it's not you, it's him. Then he talked about the insanity, he talked about people going insane. He talked about people getting under the illusion. They get under illusion of something, and then they go insane. Then they lose common thinking of what's right and what's wrong. So, I wanted to throw this in here because of you'll see. You'll see. Paragraph 190. But if you abide in me and the word, my word abide in you, then you ask what you will, because you and the word are the same. He has the preeminences. See, this is what I wanted to get again. Talking about insanity, you're talking about expression, you're talking about the mind of Christ, you're talking about him taking over. How? Right here. He said it last week. He has the preeminences. He's got the rulership. You're a prisoner to him. The world is dead. You see the rest of the people living the way they do, but yet you do not do it. You're a prisoner. See, you're yoked with him. My yoke is easy. Yoked with Christ, see, with his word, I do that only which pleases the Father. That's right. And if you can't believe that I'm he, then believe the word. So perfect. Notice. Now I was reading, almost brought a quote, and I didn't. I have it here somewhere, but I didn't put it in there. But Brother Branham was talking about choice. And somebody had posted the other day, and it was one of those that you put on your status. And so it's just there for a moment, then it's gone. And so I couldn't get it. I couldn't find it, but he was talking about, your choice, his choice, and predestination. And so, ever since then, I've been trying to find it. I've been searching, using that. And so, the only thing I know to do is I put in a choice, and then the next line I put in choice. And so it may not even be a quote, but when I put that in there, Brother Branham was saying, he said, you no longer want your choice. You want his choice. So that's what's changed. So we say we're making our choice every day. You're making your choice. You're making your choice. Yeah. But you no longer want your choice. You want his choice. And so his choice, that thing is being driven by his nature. It's his nature that makes you want that. It's his life that makes you want that. It's him living in you that makes you want that. And so that's the only way you can go. Now, there's nothing can make you go another way. Heavens and earth, all hell can be against you. And there's nothing else you can do but follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Watch. He said, who do you say I am? He's asking the church, his 12. Out of the millions of that day, he asked 12, his church. In the millions, in the days of Noah, he asked 8. See? And he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. See? Wherein 8 souls were saved. That's right. I don't say there's going to be 8 saved. Now, don't get that all wrong. I never said that. I don't know how many's gonna is to be going to be saved at, in that. That's the last moment to the rapture. See, that little group. See, it'll be a small group. I'll tell you that. See, for straight is the gate and narrow is the way, but few there be that find it. So, you look at those things. No, it's not going to be a great number. Not going to be. But when the great ransom body through all ages comes up, then that's going to be a great throne there. See, Revelation 7 expresses it. Great number, which no man could number. See, through all the ages has come up them that's walked in the light of the Bible as far as it was revealed to them. See, and now we know that Wesley had more light than Luther, and Pentecost outshined Wesley. See, certainly it does. Now, because it just gradually let loose as it did down through the prophets and so forth until it was perfectly made known, the Godhead bodily in Christ. That's right. So it was a little group all the way down through there. But then when it all comes up together, it's going to be a great throne. 2:30. And now the Christ in the church, the Christ, but the anointed one, the anointing, God, the Spirit, the anointed one in the church is just being made known. The whole thing is the revelation of God to take Eve back to her right position again, see, with her husband. Notice, and God is the husband of the church, and the church is his bride. What's he saying? The Christ in the church is just being made known. This is in 1963. The seals just opened up a couple months before, and now he's starting into these messages. The Christ is the mystery of God revealed, revealing the threefold mystery of God that he had in his mind before the foundation of the world. He said, what's the mystery? Predestination. What's the mystery? Christ restoring us back to where Adam and Eve was, restoring us back in him. Christ having the preeminence in his bride, having the full preeminence, every bit, everything, no spot or wrinkle, nothing. Christ in the church is just being made known. Amen. Let's see, I'm trying to think. This is July. He'd already preached the token. I think he'd already preached the token. There was four of them, and so some of them went on, but I think by this time he had already preached one of them, and so that places it right in there. It's Christ in the bride. It's Christ in the body. 2:31. Now Peter, when he called, said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now watch. "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona," which means son of Jonah. See? "Blessed art thou, for flesh and blood never revealed this to you." You never learned it from some school, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed it to you. Now, what he said to him, notice what he said to him upon this rock. See, that's Peter, the predestinated seed of God that had received this light and given the keys of the kingdom upon this rock of revelation of who Jesus Christ is. He is the full manifested God. See, that's the rock of revelation. It's what the whole thing's built on. Beginning Genesis, to Revelations, beginning to end, the Alpha, the Omega. The whole thing upon this rock, not a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, see, and him being the second person, upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell will never shake it down, never prevail against it. See, I'll build my church upon this rock. A revelation of Jesus Christ. A revelation. What did he say? And we know he's going that way. Because you know this message, you know what he says. But he's going to say, what is the new birth?
It's Jesus Christ personally revealed to you. That is what it's been all the way through. Jesus Christ personally revealed. What was it that Abel had? He had a personal revelation. He had a personal revelation of what God wanted. What did every one of those prophets had? They had a revelation. And all of those that could believe the prophets, that little group that could believe the prophets, because most of them didn't, because they put him to death, they rejected him, they stoned him, they were sawed asunder, all that they did. But there was a little group that God gave a revelation. See? I'll build my church upon this rock, a revelation of Jesus Christ. Now look, Christ in you makes him the center of life of the revelation. Christ in you makes him the center of life of the revelation. Him being in you, that's what it's all about. What people are seeing is not you. What they're seeing is Christ. He's the center of the whole thing. See, Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible the complete revelation of Christ. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. See, what God is trying to do. See, what is the new birth then? You say, well, Brother Branham, what's the new birth? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Amen. See, not you joined the church or you shook a hand, you done something different, you said a creed, you promised to live a code of rules, but Christ, the Bible, he's the word that was revealed to you. And no matter what anybody says, no matter what takes place, it's Christ. Pastor, priest, whatever it might be, it's Christ in you. That is the revelation that the church is built upon. That's the revelation, and that's the thing that has kept you in this message, in this revelation. In that's what's kept you all of these years. That whether you're young or old this morning, wherever you're at, there's something that's held you to him, to this word. It's that life. It's his life. When Satan comes along and says there's nothing to this, Satan says something else. He says something else. It never takes effect. It never takes effect on you because he's revealed himself. He's revealed himself that you know it's not you. You know that it's him is the one that's revealing himself day by day. You say, well, I'm a Lutheran. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Presbyterian. I don't mean one. Don't mean Brother Branham snaps his finger that to God. See, not a thing, not a snap of your finger. What is it? It's Christ being revealed, and he's the word. And when the word is revealed, it expresses itself. See, that's God's purpose for Jesus Christ, was to express himself, to take his own laws and live by his laws and fulfill his law by death. And Christ, God, died in flesh in order to condemn sin in the flesh. That's right. That he might bring to himself a glorious bride, redeemed back. That will believe only in the word of God and not swap it like Eve did, for intellectual conceptions of a man. Not like Eve did. No. Not going to take an intellectual idea. No. You see, that's Christ's idea. That's God's idea. And the new birth reveals this. That's when you're born again by this word, by this day, by the Spirit of God, then it's Christ revealed in you. No more you, no more your ideas, no more your intellect, no more anything. If a man says he's born again and try to place these promises of Christ in this last age to some other age, making him Christ yesterday but not today, then that man or that person has been in a delusion by Satan. That's right. And if that man says that he believes that and it doesn't manifest itself through him, it don't matter if I say I believe it. It don't matter if you say you believe it. If we believe it, then that life of Christ is going to manifest itself in us day in and day out. It will be Christ manifesting himself. Jesus said in Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe into all the world and to every age, casting out devils, speaking with tongues, all these great manifestations of gifts that would follow, and they shall. See, not they maybe, they ought to, they will. And heavens and earth will pass away, but his word won't. That's right. So it's Christ expressing himself in the individual, whether he's intellectual or whether he don't know his ABCs. Praise be to God. This is what I said the other day, last week, that your intellectual can be not knowing your ABCs. Your intellectual can be so small, your IQ can be so small, and you still take your intellectual idea. You still take your idea of what it is. It don't matter. It don't matter how great your IQ is, how low your IQ is. If you take your idea over God's revelation, over God's word for the age, then that proves that that Antichrist spirit is there. Because if Christ is there, Christ is going to say that he has come in the flesh. Christ in you is going to identify that Christ has come in the flesh. It can't be a man. It wasn't a man that did those things. Yes, it was a man that was standing there. Yes, it was a man. But it was no more a man than what it was at the tent door of Abraham when God took a little bit of dust and bloated and bloated and bloated and made three bodies. Now, where are those bodies today? It doesn't matter. If he needs one, he'll make one. And if he don't need one, he needed something because he was going to eat with Abraham. He was going to go down and he was going to eat a calf and he was going to drink some milk. So he needed a flesh body. And that's what he made. And they went down and they had fellowship and they ate and they drank. And then the word revealed the secrets of the heart, just like the word always does. See, whether he's an intellectual or whether he don't know his ABCs. Half the apostles didn't know it, see, but they know Christ. They'd never taken heed to Peter and John, knowing that they had been out of some seminary. They said they'd taken heed and noticed that they had been with Christ. Huh? I don't want to say this disrespectfully, but I'll tell you what. I don't know how many times I've heard people pray, and I could tell you it was a nominal prayer. It's a good prayer. They prayed for people. They did this. They did this. They did this. They mentioned this and this and this. But it's just something about the way they say it. It's something about the way they do it. It's just, maybe I shouldn't even say that, but, and nothing against that. I'm glad they're praying. I mean, but you can just tell, it's just like talking to them about the word of God. Their whole conception is totally different. So when they pray, their conception is totally different. They approach God in with it's just a different atmosphere, a different idea, a different emotion, a different everything. And so, if somebody's an intellectual and they pray, you can, if you're talking to an intellectual, somebody that's got a high IQ, you can tell it immediately. If you're talking to somebody that doesn't know their ABCs, you usually can tell that really fast. And so, but when you're talking to somebody who has a revelation of the message of the hour, you can tell that too. And then it doesn't matter if they know their ABCs. It doesn't matter if they're near genius in their IQ. It doesn't matter. Because when they receive the revelation, they begin to exclude themselves and God takes over. God begins to express himself. And Brother Branham talked about it. He talked about men that thought they were so great and so wonderful. And he said he talked to great men that made you feel like you was the great one. That's the difference, isn't it? That's the difference. God help us to be like that. They said they'd taken heed and noticed that they had been with Christ when they healed the lame man. See, at the gate, they knowed they had been with Christ. And the new birth is Christ, is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's the new birth. Are you getting that? The new birth is Christ, is a revelation. And God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's the new birth. We thought they had everything at the day of Pentecost. We thought Pentecost, everything was just continuing right on, right on, right on. But we found out there was something greater. There was something greater that was coming in this last hour. And that's what's taking place. And that's what he's talking about. That's what's being revealed. It's that new birth being revealed in the believer. It's that life of God, the literal life. That's what he said in the token. He said, it's the literal life of Jesus Christ in you, not the anointing. Not the anointing on your spirit, not a baptism that you can be baptized every day and go to hell. Not that. No, this mystery, this being revealed, this new birth is being revealed in the last days by his spirit. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The new birth is Christ, is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's a new birth, see? And now what are you going to do when you get all that group together where the revelation is perfectly in harmony and God expressing it through his word by the same actions and the same things that he did making the word manifest? Oh, if the church only knew its position, it will one day, and the rapture will go when it knows what it is. That's right. Notice, Brother Branham, but oh yes, it's the truth. That's right. Okay, let's see. We're gonna go just a little bit further here. Actually, I've almost got these quotes. Paragraph 242. Now, did you notice Paul never knew him physically? Paul never knew him. The only way Paul knew him was by revelation, by a vision. Is that right? See, and Paul only knew Jesus by the revelation, just like Peter did. See, Peter had seen him in flesh, but he didn't know him by the flesh because Jesus said flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you. See, even my own life didn't reveal it to you. But my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed the thing to you, that he is the word of God. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. See, Peter didn't know him by flesh. Man walked and handled him and everything else. That's right. Paul had something greater than any of the apostles did. See? They said, well, we got more revelation than you, Paul, because, I walked with him. I went fishing with him. I talked with him. I sat on the boat with him. People believe that. People have that idea today. And that's all good. And he might have spoke something special to you just for you. And that's all good, too. And whatever it is, that was for you. But if it don't line up with the book and the tape, then it might not be for me. Whatever he told you might have been just for you. Whatever that was, God bless you, give you that visitation, give you that time, give you that fellowship with the prophet, that's okay. But this message that he gave us for the bride, it's right here. It's right here. We have the voice, we have it in print, and that's what we're looking to. And it's easy enough for somebody to take that same thing that God, that prophet spoke him, and retell it and retell it and get it different and get it different and get it different. I can remember when I was in about the fifth grade, I joined the Boy Scouts. My mom joined the Boy Scouts for me. I went for 1 month. I think I got a couple of meetings in. But one was a Saturday. I was pretty adventurous anyways. It would have been good if I could have did some of that camping stuff. I probably might have enjoyed that and stayed. But I was just too busy, and they was sitting around talking about stuff. But anyways, one day, We went into this place, and where they're having the meeting, and they set a group about 20 something boys down, and the scoutmaster, whoever was starting it, he whispered in the ear of one of them. And so the object was to say that to the next person, to the next person, to the next person, and see what made it to the end. And so when it got to the end, it wasn't even any words in there that was in the original. There wasn't even any words in the original that made it down here to the end. Pretty amazing, isn't it? And that's how it is. When people start telling the story, they give it a little twist. They give it another word of description. They give it a little this, a little bit of that. I think we've all done it. I've done it. And then, but I realize that that if we keep doing that, we make it not the same thing. The next person takes it differently, takes it differently, takes it differently. It messes it up. 247. Here he is today, in the same manner, by the same pillar of fire, expressing himself, vindicating himself the same, revealing the mystery of God that's been hid since the foundation of the world. How long has this mystery been hid? Since the foundation of the world. And that's what I like to read, because Brother Branham promised that these mysteries, after all the Bible was revealed, there was only one thing left, and that was seven thunder mysteries. And those seven thunder mysteries would be the mysteries that had been hidden from the foundation of the world. They had not never been known. Nobody knew them. This was the secret that God kept in his mind that he was saving for the last days. And so all that had to be revealed down through the ages, now there was coming something after that, after that. And in Revelations 4, he invited them up to come up higher. And people, the elect, came up higher. And there's a lot could be said about that, I'll tell you. See, Paul only knew him by revelation. Peter knew him by revelation. He walked with him, he talked with him. Therefore, you can set this word. Now, I've just said that he was the word. And now a scholar can sit down and read that word till he can just tie up your mind. See, anyway, see, if he wants to do it, because he's smart, he's brilliant. He said, you get a Catholic priest or a good trained theologian in the Bible, see, a Baptist, Presbyterian, something, he'll make you think you don't know nothing. See, when it comes to talk, see, because that he has known him in the flesh, the word. Brother Branham pats his Bible, see? Now, but the only way you're saved is to know him by revelation. That's right. And if I can take the Presbyterian, he said, I can take the Presbyterian doctrine and tie you Pentecostals till you won't know. I can take the Baptist doctrine and show you Pentecostals a million things that you don't know nothing of. That's right. But that's not it. That's not his church. That's not his church. His church is himself revealed. Amen. Do you see it? Huh? His church is himself revealed and expressed by the word itself. That he is God. See? Praise be to God. The church is himself revealed. Amen. Praise be to God. We're going to stop right there. And we're going to be praying. We're going to have to stand together with us. You be praying for Michael and Amanda. That they'll get over this quickly, and that all of us will. This thing's been going around. Some of the family has it, and just to think that we're here and they were at the coast, and basically sound like we got the same thing. But God knows, And God is able. And we thank him and praise him. And so, I ask Brother Richard, if you'll come, dismiss us this morning in a word of prayer. And we just give thanks and praise to God. Bless you, brother. Appreciate you. Bless you, brother.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
If my voice had felt this morning when I came in like it does now, I would have sang something.
All right.
But thank you, Lord, that you my body right now. And let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, Father, we so thank the Lord that you spoke to us this morning, Lord. Father, this is just made me think of the many people that we come in contact with and who is and who isn't. And of course, that's the Lord's will, but you still wonder and where they end up and where they do. Many ministers that we've met, we don't know if they're still alive or anything, but it's just why you wonder when you've been through this for a long time now. Feel like you're part of God after a while. And it's so good, Lord, to hear the word, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. You spoke to us. Lord, we're not worthy, but your worthiness is. Father, we so thank you for your many blessings, Lord. Our health, Lord. We pray for them that can't be here, Lord, for various reasons. Lord, you know them all. Father, watching over us, Lord. Give them safety coming back from the beach or wherever people are at, Lord. Watch over them, Lord. No, let them know you're there. We thank you, Jesus, so much for your word, Lord. And we just praise your name, Lord, and ask that you would give comfort to all them that labor in your midst, Lord. Watch over us now. Give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen. Praise you.